Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
I'm going to tell you here on WEEI Afternoons with Dan Ball filling in for Nick Fitzy-Stevens that some of these off-air conversations have been rather interesting, Dan Ball.
Yeah, yeah. You want to
be saying a lot of interesting stuff off-air?
Yeah, you want to share any insight into that, or you just want to leave it up to mystery?
I just made a deal with somebody this weekend that I would get a matching panda tattoos on our asses if certain thing happened. I can't give you the details or who the person is, but in the future, there is the potential for me to have a panda tattooed on my bum bum.
And to revisit, panda is your go-to animal to respond to trolls on Twitter.
Yeah.
If they are being mean, because they are docile creatures, among other things. You have not yet activated the panda bear flipping the bird to whoever is responding to you.
Also not been allowed to order that stuffed animal off of Instagram because my wife says, quote, it's a scam and it'll never come and they'll steal our credit card and all these things. So,
speaking of which, Stiz, did you ever get your UNC?
Nope.
But you never had your information stolen. You're just out the money.
Well, I have no money anyway, so I probably wouldn't know. It just stays at zero. But...
Well, you would if somebody opened new credit cards and all of a sudden you were getting bills and your credit.
They just took my $30.
The scammer opened up the account and was like, what the hell is going on here?
Let's move on.
Where is it? Okay,
it was
anyways.
A sucker born every minute. It was in Chelsea and it was 40 years ago and his name is Stiz. It's 3 o'clock. We have three hosts sort of today ready to do three different topics. So it's time for the 3-point stance.
319.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer, and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, the depth is on display for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Three hosts, or whatever you'd describe all of us, giving our stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order for today, Andy Hart, myself, Dan Ball, and then our guy Brian Frazoco, who is jumping in to fill the third and final spot here on the 3-point stance. Andy, you will lead us off. You have 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
Okay, so this is going to be a Hardo-Hart edition of my 3-point stance.
Classic.
Some people will say, oh, just this one? This is the only Hardo-Hart edition? So I was down in the practice fields of Gillette talking to some of the members of the PR staff, and it really just hit me. I hate modern football with limited pads, limited practice time. Literally no one has double sessions anymore, and I don't know why. Like, they're going to say it's player safety, but you don't have to bang heads through the totality of both two-hour practices. But gone are the days, whether it's high school, college, or the NFL, gone are the days, in my opinion, that teams are actually prepared for the first game. You have, and I think in high school more than any other sport, you need double sessions and you need more practice time, because there's kids that show up as freshmen or sophomores that have never played football before. At least these NFL guys, you made it to the NFL by playing in high school and college. You have some experience. You know how to tackle. You know how to block. You're kind of, you don't fall off the bike, get back on it kind of thing. We need more double sessions. And again, you don't have to kill people. You don't have to bang heads for 3 hours in the morning and bang heads for 3 hours in the afternoons. But teams and bonding and cohesion and preparing for the sport that is football, preparing to play games, and you're going to talk for more than a minute if the producer falls asleep, you need double sessions. You need more practice time. You need more tackle time. Oh, it snuck up on me there. Just kind of, yeah, woo, woo, button hooked me. Am I being too hard? Always?
Yes.
Why?
Work more. Rah, rah, rah. And then, so you complain about no pads. You hate the practices with no pads or whatever. But then you just then said, well, you don't have to hit. You don't have to do any
you
of
don't
that
have to
stuff.
Hit when they didn't really hit today. There's banging up front. There's a little blocking. None of like the Jabril Peppers of the world, the DBs are coming through to bang anybody. Jabril Peppers could have killed Stephon Diggs. He did not. He actually just ran by, and people are like, oh, Diggs caught the ball. No, he didn't. If that's a game, he's getting his head knocked off. Might be a 15-yard penalty, but he's getting his clock cleaned. I think football is a sport. Gerard Mayo said this. This may be my lasting memory. Everything else went sideways. I don't know that there's a lot. The North Star, the mural, the draft picks, the decisions. Football players get better at football by playing football.
Wow.
You need to
play. He kind of fell ass backwards into having something prophetic, yes, but he nailed it.
And it's also in juxtaposition to everything else he did and said. Like, you're like, that's the good takeaway. We're just going to pull this up and forget the rest.
Yeah.
But there's just not, in my opinion, and I know in the NFL it's about CBAs and the players got easier work instead of more money, essentially, whereas they need to fight for more money and all those things. But I just, like, high school, you can't just roll out of bed on August 15th, put a helmet on for the first time August 21st, and then play a game September 1st. Oh, you've never played football before, and we're just going to throw you out there? And I also do think there is value. Like, we talk about all these trips for Drake May or tight end U. There's also value of double sessions, football teams, being together for extended. I think the product of football at all three levels, high school, college, and the NFL, would be better if we had more practice time, more double sessions, a little bit more like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're doing it in the name of trying not to get guys hurt, as you mentioned.
Sure.
Which I understand. But in the process, you're also skipping valuable time where you teach guys the proper way to tackle and the proper way to block and how to move so you don't hurt yourself. All these fundamental things that you're supposed to learn at the grassroots level, like you talk about, are just being skipped for the sake of quote unquote keeping these guys healthy,
right?
And in the process, you're teaching bad habits where, you know, your athletes will be the ones that are successful just because they're bigger and faster and stronger than everybody. But then those guys get to the collegiate and the professional level, and they either don't know how to play, or they just play too far over the line and they get somebody else hurt. And so it's, as much as you couching it as I just hate modern football is a hard O way to say it, you can kind of understand why people are starting to worry that football is just going to become flag football at some point, because there really is no emphasis anymore on the kind of hard work and fundamentals that make football players football players.
Yeah, and we all love the movies. We all watch these movies, old movies. Some clip came across my Twitter today where guys are pushing themselves past like sort of the breaking point. And I know some coaches go nuts and workouts go too long and too far, but if you have the right medical staff and the right coaches, they should be able to push kids to the limits without going past the limits.
Don't worry. You may pass out, but our medical staff will.
Yes!
It will help you out. You know who else was
very big? What are you going to do in a game?
You know who else was very big on no-nonsense, hard work, good habits?
Parcells.
Great minds think alike. There you go.
Parcells. And then Bill stole it from Parcells, who stole it from somebody, Bud Wilkinson. It all gets passed down, but we've gone soft. We really have. And we got a few positive responses now. Fair point from 781 says, in Texas, we have doubles at the high schools. No wonder Texas produces the best football players and the best football teams. They're actually having double sessions down there. Up here, you're on the field for like an hour 45, and that's only if they check the wet bulb. You guys ever heard of the wet bulb? There's a wet bulb thing. And it's some sort of thermometer that also takes into account humidity. And if it goes over a certain... Oh, you can't practice today. Can't practice. And what?
Oh, my God.
What? You can't practice because it's a little warm out here? What are we going to do on Friday night? Well, we won't play the game if it's too hot on a Friday night. There might be mosquitoes, too, so we might have to play Saturday. Like,
well, because it's all... It's liability. You can't get hurt. You can't because it's on the school. Yeah. It's on the this. It's on the that. Like... That you're losing sight of what sport is supposed to be.
So are you kind of on my side?
Yes,
heart
I am.
Heart side.
Absolutely,
here?
I am.
Okay, thank you.
It's a balancing act, though.
I mean, I know.
Football is a dangerous sport. We have seen some brutal injuries. I was working that game when DeMar Hamlin went down.
But you're going to continue.
No, I get it. But you're trying to balance, trying to make it as safe as it can be
without taking
extraordinary risk. It's a risk versus reward.
It's a barbaric, archaic sport that we all love. You either have it and accept the risks that come with it, or you get rid of it and play flag football. And you're right. If they play flag football, you probably don't need double sessions. I still think we want to have tackle football, which means we should have double sessions. Thank you.
The reason I come at this from a different perspective than you, but I still agree with you, because me being where I am in age, like coming up playing sports, I saw the softening of sports as I was going through where all of a sudden now you in hockey, for example, you were able to check when you got to, you know, your age 10, 11, 12 season. Oh, now it's 15, 16. So you have guys that are getting into high school who have never laid a body check before.
Right.
So they have guys who are seniors in high school who are, you know, 6 inches taller than them and however much heavier, going in and laying these checks, and they don't know how to brace themselves. They don't know you need to be against the boards. And because you're changing it for the sake of making these younger kids safer, and I understand the thinking, but you're also not reinforcing the proper technique to be able to stay safe and fight for yourself out there, because sports are war by some more than others, obviously, with the physical contact versus not. But yeah, it's bad. It's getting worse.
And I will throw the one layer on this that I struggle with, especially around here. There's not enough kids that want to play football. And if you start having double sessions in August, I don't know if you lose more numbers and now all of a sudden more and more programs can't field teams or have to do the co-op thing where they're sharing teams.
I would imagine.
Because kids have gone soft. But what happened first? Did kids go soft or did we go soft and the kids got softer? Like, we kind of snowballed the softness towards the kids' directions.
I would say more the latter.
Like, are kids
former.
Really soft? Like, are they that different than 20 years ago? Or if you just treated them like you treated the kids 20 years ago, they'd be tougher and more dedicated and some of the things that we bitch about as older people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what it is.
Nature hasn't changed, right? Nurture has.
It's just it's the environment and, you know, the availability of technology. You don't have to work for a lot, whatever. There's a million different ways just about society.
Or maybe we learned, or there's another side of that is that we,
Lefty
us
Grove
as
over
a society, have grown smarter. We learned more about concussions. We learned more about
You keep
about
going to concussions. I don't need
the
all
damage.
The hitting all the time.
Okay,
there's
but
a lot
even,
of things you can do at football practice that don't involve hitting. There's a lot of drills. There's
5 minutes
seven,
ago, you were
thing.
Like, you know, who cares if you run? You know, I watched this awesome video of people that were at their breaking point and almost blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah.
That stuff comes into account, too. So it's not just hitting. You don't want people passing out on the football field either.
No, I don't want them passing out on the practice field or the game field. And sometimes you prevent passing out on the game field by passing out on the practice field. You got to learn where your line is and then push past it. Jeez, you never played football, I can tell.
I did, Eastie. So
you
there you go.
Pansy.
Take that.
You snowflake. What happened to you? You've changed. All right, Dan Ball.
All right, Stiz, can I have 60 seconds?
Go ahead, Daniel.
All right. I'm pivoting to baseball from that rousing conversation, and I just want to make sure that we don't let the Red Sox skate on their handling of Marcelo Meyer this season. He was, first of all, we talked about it during the beginning of the season, that he has been an injury-prone player for a number of years and hasn't really had a full minor league season in a while to fully work through some of the issues that I think kind of came up at the major league level. The Red Sox did not call Marcelo Meyer up because they thought he was unequivocally ready to make the majors. They called him up because Alex Bregman got hurt, so they were reacting and not proactively calling him up to the majors. Once he got here, and again, you can agree or disagree with the theory, they did not allow him to hit against left-handed pitching or allow him to grow at any point when trying to face some of the best competition in the world. Roman Anthony is the best prospect in baseball. Did he, maybe he earned that right? I'll give you that. But Anthony is now thriving. Marcelo Meyer was not given that same chance. So he spent multiple days on the bench in a row and was not fully given a chance to grow at the major league level. Now he is hurt. And it seems like surgery is still on the table. So the Red Sox rushed getting Marcelo Meyer up to Major League Baseball because they did not have a proper plan for him. I don't think they handled his development at the Major League level very well. And now we're looking at another lost season for a guy who was a top draft pick and was supposed to be, according to his manager, your shortstop of the future.
Wow. That was a negative tone from Dan Ball.
Do you disagree, though?
I like it.
Well, the only thing I don't like, they kind of slow played and then rushed it in a weird way. Somehow they screwed it up on both ends. Like, I think you could have made he made the argument on Jones and Keefe at the Woo Sox opener that he thought he made the major league team out of camp. But the guy who signed a contract actually got the job at the major league roster, Christian Campbell, who's now back in Worcester, now killing it again. So you can trade his ass and putting up some numbers. That's good for trade.
I was
value.
Waiting for that one.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, then they kind of rushed it. But then it was he's not going to hit against lefties because he wasn't going to come up until he was going to be an everyday player. But then he was brought up to not be an everyday player.
Right.
Like, there was definitely, like a lot of things with this team, both mixed messages and confusing execution.
Yes, and a quote-unquote plan that takes one shape a certain week, and then based on the circumstances happening around it, changes on a whim.
Right.
I mean, I'm disappointed because you can only do this with these younger players so many times before you start to inflict damage on their development, before you limit the overall potential that they have. This is another season that you're losing to injury. Now, whatever issues you had with him hitting lefties or playing every day, now he's not going to be able to work through them because he's hurt.
All that being said, isn't that the biggest issue? Is he's always hurt?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but you should.
And I don't say that as it's not meant to be a dig as much as it's meant to be a statement of fact.
It's just a factor in who this player is right now.
Injuries have been a part of every season of professional baseball for him.
Which is, to my point, why I think that needed to be a factor in your decision making with him. I would have rather you have been overcautious to see him play every third game or every other game in the majors for 2 months and get hurt versus go kill it in minor league baseball and be that everyday third baseman, shortstop, second baseman, whatever, when you call him up so I don't have to watch you immediately go into a platoon. I would have rather them have been overly cautious with him compared to a guy like Anthony who hasn't had those concerns and just let the guy develop at his pace. Let him have one good, successful year in pro baseball before you put those expectations on his shoulders.
I guess that's the issue is he could have stayed at Pawtucket and hurt his wrist and gone on the IL and, Worcester. And, you know what I mean? It could have played out differently, just not in front of every night in Essanize. It could have played out at a lower level. Yeah, because that's my biggest concern with him.
Yeah.
And I've heard Lou allude to this before Meyer was brought up. He was even talking about sort of similar to your path, like the injuries are a thing and maybe he just needs to prove he can stay healthy before he can become a big league player.
Yeah.
And maybe he could have done that at Worcester. Maybe he doesn't get hurt and who knows.
Well, but he also could have got hurt. But I would really like to see what the stats look like to this point in the season if he had just stayed there before he got hurt.
Right.
Did he develop against left-handed hitters? Did he show that he's an everyday second baseman, third baseman? Did you find a position for him for the future? You screw around with these kids too much and it has a detrimental impact on what they will become. So
774 says, I told you guys 3 weeks ago the Sox are going to ruin Meyer.
774, you're welcome on this show anytime.
Not sure they've ruined him. We'll see where it goes. But
damn well trying. So the third member of our three-point stance today is Frizoco. Brian, are you ready, my friend?
Let's do it.
All right, your 60 seconds for your three-point stance begin right now.
So I'm going to surprise Andy Hart today. I'm going to shift away from basketball and go to his football team.
Because
the name I keep hearing so far at Patriots training camp is receiver Stephon Diggs. And yes, it's early, and according to Andy, they haven't even been playing football over the last few weeks.
Nope.
But, Andy, even you, who find holes and faults in just about everything,
true,
came into the studio last week before one of our shows and said, you know what, Stephon Diggs looks a little different. He is the clear alpha number one wide receiver on this team, and we all know what he was able to do for young quarterbacks, especially in their second year, whether it was Josh Allen or C.J. Stroud last year before Stephon Diggs left, of course, with the ACL injury. And I think if you can get 90% of what he was when he was in Buffalo, when he was in Minnesota, even last year when he was in Houston, I think by the end of the year, under the new Josh McDaniels system, with Drake May hopefully taking that leap forward in his second year, they could be the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the AFC East by the end of the year. Tua's always hurt, Justin Fields can't throw, and Josh Allen doesn't have a clear number one wide receiver.
Wow.
You got that train back there?
Say, where's the Homer honk horn?
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
I mean, you
have...
There we go.
You do have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in Miami, and you can say what you want about Tyreek Hill maybe on the other side of his best years, and I know there's talk down there that Jaylen Waddle is becoming the go-to guy for Tua. He's throwing to him all the time.
I don't believe Tua's going to be able to stay... Tua's going to be able to stay healthy throughout the entire year. He hasn't shown that he's been able to do that.
Has May?
No. Larger sample size with Tua, though.
Oh, I know. It's actually worked. Was it two or three games out of the 11 that Drake May couldn't finish last year?
I'm saying larger sample size season-wise.
Yeah.
Every year Tua's been in the league, and now, oh, every year Drake May's in the league, he hasn't played a full season.
I think I would retort your argument, and I don't think it's ridiculous on the surface, because when you kind of, it sounds weird, and then when you actually think about it, you're like, well, maybe if this happens. But there's also part of me that says Josh Allen and whoever the hell else Josh Allen wants to call his number one is better than anybody, because Josh Allen is that damn good. That's how I look at it.
So I agree with
it's
you.
It's so
I
think weighted towards his side.
If you're going to say who's going to have a better year numbers-wise, stats-wise, Josh Allen or Drake May, I agree with you. Josh Allen's the MVP last year. I'm sure he's going to put up better numbers than Drake May
Big
this
concession
year.
Concession on your part.
But if you're just strictly going by quarterback-receiver duo, Josh Allen has a lot of guys who I think are okay, are decent players, but he doesn't have a clear number one that he's going to be throwing to, who he's going to be feeding the ball. I'm worried Drake May's only good receiver is going to be Stephon Diggs, and they're going to have no other options other than him.
The other issue with Stephon Diggs is the dropsies have developed a little bit over Saturday and today.
So I didn't notice that as a thing with him before this year, though.
Well, great. So he's getting old and he drops the ball more. You're making my point.
He suddenly forgot how to catch?
No. Maybe he's a little less flexible, a little less fluid. I don't know, guys. Maybe his eyes aren't as good. I have no idea, but I'm just telling you, ever since I jumped on the bandwagon late last week, Stephon Diggs has been dropping more balls than I would say would be ideal.
I did hear he had a case in the drops today, according to Jones and Keefe.
Hopefully he cleans that up. All right, that's going to do it for 3-Point Stance. We see your phone calls. And Joe, stay on the line, because anytime you have a subject line that says Andy's take is horrible, I want to talk to you, Joe. But up next, Tim Healy, the Boston Globe, will join us to talk about the Boston Red Sox. Are they turning things around early here in the second half of the season? What the hell are they going to do at the trade deadline? Was Alex Cora taking a shot at leadership with his fan Fenway Park comments from the other night? All that with Tim Healy, Boston Globe, up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, double-dipping Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox completed the series victory over the Dodgers with a 4-3 victory yesterday afternoon at Fenway Park. Brendan Bernardino with the win in relief, and Jordan Hicks recorded the final 5 outs to pick up the save. Boston is now 4-5 since the All-Star break. They begin their final series before the trade deadline tonight in Minnesota against the Twins. First pitch is at 7:40. Richard Fitz will start against Simeon Woods Richardson. And you can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of tonight's game. The MLB trade deadline is Thursday at 6 p.m. From earlier today, the Braves acquired veteran starting pitcher Eric Fetty from the Cardinals for a player to be named later or cash, and right-hander Seth Lugo and the Royals are finalizing a 2-year, $46 million contract extension, taking one of the best potential trade candidates off of the market. And from around the league, Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave as part of MLB sports betting investigation. Clase is now the second Guardians pitcher on leave tied to the investigation, joining right-hander Luis Ortiz. Clase's leave is through August 31st, MLB said in a statement. The Patriots completed their 5th day of training camp earlier today. Drake May went 5-6 with a touchdown. They return to the practice field tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Boston Globe Red Sox beat writer Tim Healy joins the afternoon crew, and that's next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, where we'll be joined with Tim Healy, Boston Globe, momentarily. But we got to go to my guy Joe in Melrose because he said my three-point stance about football needing more double sessions and practice time is, quote, horrible.
Get him,
what's
Joe.
Up, Joe?
Get him.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Andy, it is a horrible take. I mean, the thing is, they play more games than ever now. I mean, they're playing 17 games, and if you get to the Super Bowl, you know, there's only one bye. You could be playing 21 games of football. You're going to get your players gassed if you're having, like, hitting each other so much in camp. And the other thing is, too, you need to, the offseason, you need to be lifting and getting stronger as possible. And once you start practicing a lot, you don't have as much time to lift, and you kind of gradually get a little bit weaker. So the thing is, you want your players as healthy and fresh as possible when it gets to the playoff time. You need to, like, lighten up in the preseason.
You need to lighten up, Joe.
Andy told me during the break he wants to get rid of seatbelts and allow smoking on airplanes again.
Let's talk about the second one.
We can get back to that, my horrible take on double sessions, more football practice, and Joe's retort. But now we need to go to the phone lines where our buddy Tim Healy from the Boston Globe joins us here on WEEI Afternoons. What's up, Tim?
Not much. How about you?
Do you believe there should be more double sessions in football, Tim?
You know, that's really not my area of expertise. It's been a long time since high school two-a-days at this time of year.
Yes.
So,
all right, so let's stick to your area of expertise, the Boston Red Sox. I got to be honest, my head is spinning because every time I go online and I read a story from some national site or on Twitter, the Red Sox are doing X or they're not doing X, or the Padres are doing X, they're not doing X. There's a million players that may be available, may not be available. So could you kind of lay the foundation for what the next couple days are going to look like? And should I be optimistic that the Red Sox are going to be buyers and buy something that will impress me?
Well, that last part is tricky because it's two different things, right? Do I think they will be buyers? Yes, absolutely. The Red Sox will be buyers, and will it impress you? That's a great question. I don't know what your threshold is. I suspect you have a very high threshold for being impressed, which is good. We all should. You know, but when you look at the Red Sox needs, and if you just run down the list, a good starting pitcher, probably a first baseman, a reliever or two. Like, that's a lot of boxes to check, and I'm not sure that they're all going to be checked, first of all, or that they will be checked in some super sexy way, right? If they don't get Yandy Diaz, or if they don't get Joe Ryan, for example, will the guy they do get be underwhelming? Maybe. Will he be good? Yeah, I mean, theoretically, if the Red Sox are adding him, then he should be an upgrade over what they currently have. But that's what this time of year is all about. It's, you know, as you said, a lot of seemingly conflicting reports. And yeah, I hear you on that. It can be kind of exhausting at times. But the good part is we are 74 hours or so, 76 hours from resolution. So we'll be getting clarity shortly.
Well, Tim, we'll never know if this is just speculation or informed speculation, but are there any names that would fit the description that you're talking about where maybe they're not sexy, but they're still players that could help this team that you've heard mentioned in connection with the Red Sox?
You know, it's getting harder because things are evolving. On the one hand, you have the Rays who reportedly are open to selling, and there would certainly be some fits there for the Red Sox. Within the division stuff, notwithstanding, that can be tricky sometimes. But then the other big development in the last 24 hours, really, has been the Royals, who looked like sellers, looked like they had a couple of interesting starting pitchers probably available. And then they not only add Randall Grichuk, an outfielder, therefore perhaps positioning themselves as buyers, but they extend Seth Lugo, get him on a new two-year contract, so he's off the market. And then Chris Bubik goes on the injured list. So there go your two kind of interesting options in the tier below sexy Joe Ryan stuff. You know what I mean? So who else can it be? Great question. Do you believe in Charlie Morgan's hot stretch? That's probably something the Red Sox are asking themselves right now.
I'd rather not.
Is that rhetorical?
I'm not gonna lie. I probably don't believe in it
okay.
that much.
Right,
so you know, who do you like better the last 2 months of the season, Walker Buehler or Charlie Morton? You know, Richard Fitz or Charlie Morton? You probably take the guys that you have in house already. But that just goes to show it's not easy to get meaningful or significant upgrades. Sandy Alcantara and Yuri Perez are out there, but Alcantara's been terrible in his first year back from Tommy John. And Perez reminds me a lot, actually, of Jesus Luzardo of the Phillies, who the Red Sox obviously saw last week, in that he's a Marlins pitcher, and he's got great stuff, and he's young, and he's controllable, and his name is in trade rumors, year-round for years. But he's mostly an idea as opposed to a proven commodity. Lizardo's never really been able to put it together for a long stretch. Perez hasn't either, so it's a weird one.
So Tim Healy here with WEEI Afternoons from the Boston Globe. Where did things go sideways with Joe Ryan? Because there was one point in time, like right before the All-Star break, and then you see the photos of the All-Star break with Bregman and Crochet, and it's like, oh, they're doing the NBA thing, they're recruiting. Joe Ryan made the comments that he wanted to be included in trade rumors and it thought it would be a cool idea to be traded. I had actually accepted the fact that he was coming to the Red Sox. All I needed to find out is what they were shipping out. Where did that all go so wrong? It seems like they have the assets to go get Joe Ryan if they want, and I want them to go get Joe Ryan. So what the hell is the problem here?
The problem is there is no pressure on the Twins, really, to make a deal now, because he's not a pending free agent. He's a controllable guy. And in the same way, in the way people talk about Jaron Duran potentially being traded and the Red Sox excluding him from the outfield surplus, one line of thinking is, oh, you could do it now, yes, but if you wait till December and all of the teams are potential fits, including 3 to 5 teams at the deadline who are interested, then you can maximize your value. So with guys who are not merely rentals, there's a much higher bar to clear. And it's not clear to me that the Twins necessarily even want to flirt with that idea.
Well, the name has entered the conversation, so I may as well ask about Jaron Duran on the other side of all of these trade deadline conversations. What's a general likelihood that you would put on Duran getting moved before the trade deadline this year?
Very, very low.
Okay.
I'm not going to say zero, because what is 0% chance? But it's very, very low. I'd be really surprised. That was true even a week ago. But now that Meyer's down and the Red Sox are being kind of cagey about for how long and how severe his wrist sprain is, and Rafaela's at second a lot, and then you got 3 outfielders for 3 spots, and suddenly the logjam is gone, that just further decreases what was probably already an unlikely proposition. And listen, I get the logic of trading Jaron Duran now or later, because the Red Sox have a lot of good outfielders, and Jaron Duran is a very good player, and they could probably get something really good for him. But it would be a bit of a tough sell, I think, internally and externally with the fan base right now, at a time when he's hot, the team is contending, they already traded Devers. To turn around and then trade the guy who sells more jerseys than anybody else on the team is just it's kind of a weird sequence of events, even if you can see how it makes baseball sense. So
For a bunch of reasons, including those, I really don't think Durant's going to get moved in the next couple days.
Speaking of things that might be a tough sell both inside the clubhouse but also in the stands at Fenway Park, there was a lot of talk of urgency. I've heard Sam Kennedy say it on this station. Even Breslow has alluded to it. We're going to use the same urgency we had in the offseason at the trade deadline. And we all look at it and go, well, the offseason brought Bregman and Chapman and Crochet. So if you use that same urgency, this should be a fun trade deadline. But what's the reaction going to be if there is no fruit to bear from that tree? If there's just maybe a low level, let's just say they bring in a random middle reliever and that's all they do. What's the reaction going to be from the fans? And more importantly, what's the reaction going to be from the clubhouse that has reacted poorly to trade deadlines in the past?
I think it would be very disappointing in the clubhouse and in the stands. There's no way around that because the Red Sox and Breslow and Kennedy, et cetera, have really not backed themselves into a corner per se, but they've set a bar. They've added some hype to this trade deadline season because when the Red Sox traded Devers and the players at first thought, whoa, 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 what the heck is going on? And then the message from management was, we're not giving up on the season. We plan to be buyers at the trade deadline. Go play ball. And then the Red Sox respond to that on the field by firmly inserting themselves into the playoff race. Then the players very much are expecting reinforcements, which is reasonable of them. And if it doesn't happen in a meaningful way, then yeah, that's a bit of a gut punch. You saw it. You know, I remember talking to JD Martinez last year about the trade deadline generally, just because he's such a wise baseball player, you know, the wise old man at this point. But he said that in 2021, when the Red Sox were competing in the division, and then they had what players perceived as an underwhelming trade deadline, acquiring the injured Kyle Schwarber. That was rough inside the clubhouse. And they ended up falling out of the division lead, snagged a wild card, went on what proved to be a kind of fluky ALCS run. That stuff, it hits. It has an impact on the clubhouse for better or for worse. And in the cases where the trade deadline additions are underwhelming, it's for worse.
Tim, I'd love your opinion on a debate that Andy and I have had in past weeks, one that I think he's softened on a little bit, but we went back and forth on if the Red Sox essentially stand pat at the deadline and don't do anything of significance. If they choose to do that, can this team make the playoffs, or are moves necessary to them sneaking in a wild card spot, if not better?
That's tough. I mean, it really doesn't take a lot to win a wild card spot these days. So I want to say yes, they can still do it as is. If we assume, you know, health for their most important players, things like that.
Sure.
Excuse me. Thank you. but the wild card there is, what do the teams around them do? Because Alex Cora has been loud publicly about this, that in blaming the Red Sox second half failures in recent years on why do the Red Sox get worse? Oh, no, it's just the teams around you getting better. So what are the Yankees going to do the next 3 days? What are the Rays going to do the next 3 days? And are they going to totally fall out of it? Are the Blue Jays really running away with the division, which I certainly did not expect? So credit to the Blue Jays for that. What else is the Mariners going to do? They already got Josh Naylor. So it depends on what the teams around the Red Sox do. But as is, I think, yeah, I think they could sneak into a wild card spot.
So, Tim, before we let you go, just short answer. Am I going to be happy on Thursday night, or am I going to be bitching come Friday?
You know, am I correct in thinking you have high standards?
Yeah, Joe Ryan and Mason Miller is what I want. But,
oh, boy.
Then I think you're going to be disappointed. But I will say, if guys of that caliber get moved and the Red Sox don't get them, then that is one version of the complaint. But if nobody really good, nobody in that tier gets traded to anybody, then, you know, it's easier to buy into what the team line would be of, oh, well, you know, we got some of the good players who were available, you know. So it's a tricky thing.
Tim, I know you and I know each other decently well. This is it. You're still getting to learn the Andy Hart style. He'll be bitching regardless on Friday. I can promise you that.
It's probably fair.
Okay, that's good to know.
Probably fair.
He's Tim Healy, Boston Globe. Read his stuff online or in print. You can still buy print newspapers, and we'll see how this plays out over the next couple days. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Tim Healy, Boston Globe, here with WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll react to a couple things he said that I didn't love here on WEEI Afternoons.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
But the wild card there is, what do the teams around them do? Because Alex Cora has been loud publicly about this, that in blaming the Red Sox second half failures in recent years on why do the Red Sox get worse? Oh no, it's just the teams around you getting better. So what are the Yankees going to do the next 3 days? What are the Rays going to do the next 3 days? Are they going to totally fall out of it? Are the Blue Jays really running away with the division? What else is the Mariners going to do? They already got Josh Naylor. So it depends on what the teams around the Red Sox do. But as is, I think, yeah, I think they could sneak into a wild card spot.
Tim Healy, Boston Globe, just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed the interview, that was a fancy beat there. Check it out on the Odyssey app. Download it now. Use the rewind feature. Subscribe to WEEI Afternoons. Anywhere you get your podcasts, iHeartRadio, we're everywhere. We are absolutely everywhere right now. And I think that was a good point from Tim Healy is, and this is something Alex Cora has talked about, but this whole trade deadline thing, I feel like has become bigger and bigger the more managers and players talk about it, and this acknowledged gut punch if you don't do anything. And now Cora adding, it'll be a double gut punch. So not only what did other teams do, so they did something. They theoretically got better, even though not all moves work out. And you didn't. So you didn't get better, and now you're a little sulky McSulk-sulk in the clubhouse for a couple days, and it kind of snowballs negative. This is a huge, there's no way around it. The next, whatever Tim said, I'll go by his math. I think he said 74 hours, whatever it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. 6 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay,
yeah.
The next 74 hours are massive for the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
For all the hierarchy of the organization. John Henry, will you be smoking a cigar Thursday night? Sam Kennedy, will you be taking victory laps in your next front office report, or you'll be trying to explain why there was no urgency? Craig Breslow, who people already don't want to like, if we're being honest, just because he's geeky and he's a relief pitcher and like all this weirdness. He's not naturally liked, right? Like superficially, not naturally liked.
I think that's more of his own doing than anything else.
Okay, whatever.
To your point, a former Red Sox player comes back as your chief baseball officer. If Craig Breslow then made moves that people would associate with the Red Sox, they'd love him. Look at this guy. He won a World Series and now he's winning one as our chief baseball officer.
But he's not.
They don't like him because he lies to you in front of your face.
Also, he's dorky.
I'm hip. I'm cool.
And what was that phrase they had some phrase in that big Globe story about the audit and how they changed everything we are a... He said, we're not a baseball organization. We're a...
Oh, I know what you're saying. I thought the one that came out last week from Passan was organizational efficiency.
Yeah, things like that make it... Because he's not a player.
Yeah, but if they made aggressive moves, they wouldn't care because he's a former player who made aggressive moves and didn't lie to you.
Oh, sure. The end
he can
game,
be a dork all he wants. Come on.
He was a popular guy when he brought in Bregman,
yeah.
Even though Cora made him do it. He was a popular guy when he trades for Crochet. Like, those are popular moves. And yes, you can overcome anything. But I mean, superficially, people don't seem to want to like him. And then the manager. How this trade deadline goes is going to affect the quality of the baseball team over the second half of the season,
sure.
Which is a challenge for Alex Cora because he knows that generally the second half of the season is where his baseball teams poop the bed and absolutely fall apart, and he's acknowledged it over the years. So reputations are all on the line, up and down the hierarchy of the Red Sox.
And the Red Sox have also made this even more of an event by the way that they're talking about this deadline.
Yep. All over Nesson and EEI.
Same reason why, you know, offseason 2023 was made into such a big deal because they kept using full throttle and then, or whatever that was, 2024. They've made this into a bigger deal. They painted themselves so deeply into a corner where if you don't do that, you have a fan base who's ready to revolt again if they don't.
And a radio host, Joe Ryan or bust.
Yes.
Joe Ryan or bust. That's where you are. Now, I also don't even give them the out that clearly Tim is going to give them. If Joe Ryan doesn't get traded, then there's no big deal. No one got Joe Ryan. No. I want Joe Ryan. So increase your offer. I don't give a rat's katukus about the other 28 teams.
Yeah.
You have all these top 100 prospects. Baseball, they just updated the top 100. You got Meyer at 11. The password is now in. The Toley kid's now top 50.
Yeah.
You got all... Christian Campbell has an 8-game hitting streak, couple home runs. He's been great for the last week plus.
He's pulling the baseball again.
Great. Yeah. Trade his ass. You have all the... Come on. So I'm not going to go with... Oh, the house didn't sell, so that means we couldn't have bought it?
Yeah.
No, increase your offer.
No,
buy
just,
the damn house and move in.
No matter what happens, it just means that your offer wasn't good enough.
Correct.
Because we have been told it by both internal and external sources, the Red Sox have the prospects and the money to make it happen and also still field the same everyday ball club that they do. So even if you don't and you cry poor and say the price is too high,
can't do it.
We know you're lying to us.
Absolutely, you're lying.
100% agree.
You have all the assets in the world to do whatever. You have major leaguers. If you want to trade, if they want major leaguers, you have Jaron Duran, you have whatever.
Yeah.
If they want minor leaguers, they have that. Like, you
want an outfielder? We got one of those. Want an infielder? We got 17 of those crawling around. Take all of them.
That's the beauty of your guys playing all positions. Whatever the team asks for. Yeah, we got one. I mean, he plays other stuff too, but we'll call him whatever you want us to call him for the purposes of this trade. This is going to be a very, very interesting next 74 hours here on WEEI Afternoons. And for the Red Sox, we'll be monitoring it closely while we also continue to monitor your New England Patriots, who first day of training camp with shoulder pads. I was excited. I was down there. Every time I wave my arms, I can remember I was down there because there's a little funk factor still going on from how much I was sweating.
Thank you.
It is what it is. But we're going to have some of my reactions. And I will tell you, Morgan Moses, you're in the crosshairs. The kicking situation, concerning. The wide receiver situation, interesting. All that and more here on WEEI Afternoons.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.